Happy Thursday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. We've even got a special guest that we'll hear from soon, Ira, and it's not Bette Midler. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ira. You know, I know
I understand. If
it's not Bette or Barb, you get upset. Of course, we're presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ira, right now you can head to EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, see all the April offers, incredible spring opportunities, 70-plus years of Ed Morris dealerships, family-owned across the state. And, of course, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon right there on Causeway Boulevard. Tremendous quality, Ira, pre-owned. Of course, your pre-owned Cadillacs are certified, warrantied. You're not warrantied, Ira, at your age, but, you know, the Cadillacs are.
Hey, they've been in business longer than I've been covering the Bucks, guys. That's quite a marked distinction.
That's hard to do. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, we appreciate them. And, of course, we'll talk about them later. See all the offers right on JoeBucksFan.com. And Ira, Lee's here. We're here. Special guest is here.
We have a special guest who's even more articulate than DeMar Dotson. Oh. I'm going to let you introduce him, Mr. Isbitz.
Well, of course, he's our good friend. And when it's draft time, we all get together. It's like a council of Joes, if you will. He's the commish. He's Justin Pulowski. He's here. The draft party is coming up. But instead of us talking about the draft party, we already established over-under is 6 shots for you, which is pretty good.
I'm considering quitting my job just to be at this draft party.
Don't do it, Commissioner.
I'm not going to do it. I have a good job now. Good job.
Well, Justin, if you're going to top last year's party.
It's going to.
That means you've accomplished quite a lot.
All right, Justin, what do we need to know? Boil it down. Give us the 90-second version of why everybody needs to party at this draft party at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa, why it's going to be lit.
So fired up right now. All right, Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa on Southdale Mabry. It is going to be hundreds upon hundreds. We might even reach 1,000 people showing up at this draft party. We had about 300, 350 last year. So imagine that. You know how many people were at the draft party last year, Ira? We could have double that.
Commission, they're coming from all over.
We're going to have 2,500 square feet of tent outside. We're going to have a big LED, big screen HD TV outside. We're going to have a DJ playing classic rock outside. And we're going to have a $20 all-you-can-eat buffet from 6 to midnight.
Oh.
So you show up, you give them 20 bucks, you get a wristband, you can eat all night. They're going to rotate the wings. They're going to have the wraps. They're going to have the chips and salsa. It is going to be the party of parties.
Can I pre-order a beet salad, a roasted beet salad?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they have
the... Well, we'll see. If I throw an extra $5 in the kitty, you never know.
You know what? I'll stop at Publix and get you some beets. And we'll throw it in a salad for you. I'm not sure, you know, what else goes in a beet salad.
But they're coming from all corners, right?
11 states, 4 countries so far. We've sold out about 30 rooms at the courtyard down the street. 30 rooms.
At a reduced rate.
At a reduced rate. It's mind-boggling what is going on right now. And how many shots did you do last year?
I think 3 or 4. And there's going to be more chanting this year, too.
A lot more chanting and a lot more people to buy you more shots.
All right, so, Commish, it's a 2-night affair. That's the cool thing. It's not just Thursday night, opening night of the draft. It's Friday as well.
Yep.
2-night affair. All the details will be on JoeBucksFan.com. You've seen them. We'll have more little details, like the food. The buffet thing was just nailed down, so we're excited about that. And Ira loves a good buffet. He's gonna wear his stretchy pants, right? Whatever that is.
You never know if we can get a former Buck to stroll by, Justin.
You never know. Who we could talk to. And by the way, I'm not sure if I'm going to announce it before or if I'm going to announce it at the actual party. But, Ira, I'd love to do a stick carrier road trip maybe with you this year.
Oh, I think that's outstanding.
Well, let me roll into that then. You know what? Because, of course, new advertiser on the podcast, our good friends at fanretreat.com.
Who I met in Orlando.
Yeah, you like saying that. CEO Sean Lemony.
Press the flesh.
He left an impression. The CEO of fanretreat.com. Good local company. Bucks fans, they were at the training camp takeover last year, but all your ticket needs, your travel needs, your hotel needs, one-stop shop, but they're also connecting fans. Their new site's coming out, the new app will be out in May, and we're going to have a fan retreat which is a road trip. Yours got canceled last year, Ira. Everybody knows that. But there's a good chance we might team up, might have the commish with Ira on maybe one of the first two or three road games, a huge travel event with a big bash the night before. All that information is coming out. But right now, what you want to do is put fanretreat.com in your bookmarks, in your favorites. That's where you want to shop for Lightning tickets, Bucks tickets. It's your official JoeBucksFan.com home for all your ticket needs, fanretreat.com.
Commissioner, if we have a party the night before a Buck road game, that's going to be an uncensored party.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not only is it going to be an uncensored party, but I'm going to have a tough time getting to the game the next day. I know how you party.
It's going to be a 4 o'clock start.
We're going to up the over-under to 8 shots for you that night.
Well, I won't be driving because we'll be staying in the same
exactly.
hotel. There you go.
All right, Ira, a couple things, and I want to throw this over to Lee, okay? Because we want to get the party started here, right? Because, you know, you got all these ideas in your head, Ira.
Wait a minute. You want to talk to a guy who's going to be nestled in a media room at One Buck Place, surrounded by dozens of his favorites in the media world over there?
They love me so much there.
Evil.
Commissioner's working on DeKemper. He's wavering. We may get DeKemper.
So I wanted to throw this by you, Ira, because it came up today. I wrote about it, and it's sort of in Lee's wheelhouse in a roundabout way, and I wanted Lee's take
beer?
On it. Yeah, it's not beer.
Don't mention developing a cornerback. Don't mention.
Well, it has to do with the cornerback position.
Here we go.
And there's a lot. There's a lot.
Ira's rolling his eyes.
There's a lot of scuttlebutt out of Philadelphia because they have salary cap issues, like every single Super Bowl winner has projected salary cap issues, which is why we have Bo Allen and Vinny Curry. I want to ask Lee, because the scuttlebutt out of Philly is Ronald Darby is a guy that might be a draft day trade because he's going to get paid big time in 2019, and they know they're probably not going to be able to afford him. So, Lee, what do you think of Ronald Darby as a guy here? Potentially for the Bucks, and how that might play to the draft.
On the field, I like Darby. Like him a lot. It'd be a great addition. But this guy is like, was a pig pen in Peanuts cartoon? Wherever he goes, a dark cloud follows. Wherever he goes, there's trouble. And unfortunately, half the time that trouble happens to do with Jameis Winston. So, that's dangerous,
Commish,
bringing Darby in.
Commish, for personal reasons, DeKemper should wish that the Bucks have nothing to do with Darby, because Darby's still pissed at DeKemper for going out to the Super Bowl and asking him.
No. I calmed Darby down, but I'm the guy that got Darby on the record to say, no, the NFL hasn't talked to me yet, where other people representing the Tampa Bay area couldn't get him to talk.
Justin, that's my point. Darby's surrounded by media. He thinks he's going to be asked about, trying to stop Tom Brady. And here comes little DeKemper saying, hey, I want to talk about the Uber
investigation. And here's the thing about Lee. You know, he's sitting here saying, well, Darby's always around Jameis when he gets in trouble. Wrong place, wrong time. You know, I don't blame Darby for that. It's not like he was accused for anything.
You know, Steve, in the grand scheme of things, and I mean this seriously, I'm not sure Darby's saying that he was in that cab with Winston, considering that he also backed up Winston during the rape allegations. I'm not sure that helps Winston. I don't know if it helps him. What people saying, here comes Ronald Darby.
All right, so what are we giving up for Darby?
Well, that's it.
Is it the second pick in the fourth round?
Next year, in 2019?
Is it the fourth rounder this year?
No, 19.
Oh, 19.
If you can get a fourth round pick 2019, I'd pull the trigger.
I would pull the trigger and trade Sims for Darby.
And
I think Lee would be on board with that. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Do you want to pay Ron Darby starting in 2019 big money?
I think eventually you're going to need a corner, and if they feel like he is a guy who can be a number one corner.
I think he's considered a pretty
solid
player.
And here's the thing.
He's better than Ryan Smith.
Grimes is 34.
Yeah.
Okay. That's $7 million. You're getting right back. So you might as well invest that back into a number one corner if Darby has that 1 year left, and then he's looking for the big deal. Well, your $7 million that you can then roll with
some
more money
motivated.
Into him. And he'll be young.
That's a great point. Now, Ira, I got a quick story here for you. You're needling me about Darby got hacked. And he did get hacked off of me because I just kept peppering him with Jameis questions. And he finally calmed down when I asked him. I said, do you think Jameis is a target? He calmed down. But at any rate, talk about getting guys mad. Running back with the Patriots, who a lot of Bucks were hoping to get as a free agent.
Deion Lewis.
Yeah, he was surrounded by media. Must have been 12, 15 guys surrounding him. And they're hammering him with questions. And I walk up behind him and I asked him, I said, what's the prospect you hitting the free agent market in a few weeks? And I got Rosenhaus. Next question, he barked at me.
Boy, the Kemper had himself quite a Super Bowl over there, gentlemen.
Well, now, in all seriousness, look, you could say that Darby is a good protector of Winston, right? Maybe he's a good maybe he's a good idea to have him around because he's always...
You want him on the offensive line, is it?
Well, no, I mean, he's always... He helps get him off the hook. You could look at it that way.
He's, on his legal team. He's a pretty good football.
But in all seriousness, Justin mentioned the second pick of the fourth round, which is what the Buccaneers own by virtue of the trade with the Giants. And that's a valuable pick on day three. We haven't really talked about it, but it gives you leverage because there's always a couple of teams who are like, damn, our guy is still there. It's a fourth round. Yep. Think of the Bucs last year, right? They traded up in a fury for the last pick of the third round so they could get Kendall Beckwith. So that second pick of the fourth round is there. I wouldn't have a problem doing it for Darby. I mean, I'm so sick of looking for choir boys and stuff. And we're talking toughness. He's a tough guy. Battled through.
I'd give that pick up in a heartbeat, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do
it. You can call me Jason. It's fine. I'm used to it by now. I just accept it and move on. But who are you going to get in the fourth round?
Yeah.
I mean, who are you going to get in the fourth round that can step in and make that kind of impact? Because – this team right now has Ryan Smith or Vernon Hargrave starting on the outside.
Exactly,
and,
right.
I mean, you got one guy that gets burnt like smoke and the other guy who's burning smoke. I mean, literally, just smoking all kinds of stuff.
Very nice addition to the Kaufman podcast.
No idea what
there,
I'm saying right now. But listen, I would not mind that if that's the fourth round pick. And quite frankly, if they asked for not the fourth, if it was only the third round pick next year, I'd consider it. Young corner.
Steve,
who could be a number one?
He was a significant player on a Super Bowl champion.
Well, they obviously like that. And Light, and I find this interesting, Light at the owners' meetings last week, Ira, I went back and rewatched it.
When he wasn't chewing your ass out about your latest
That was not on
You've been very mean to Jason Light lately.
He doesn't know what's going on with his bits.
I had an entire podcast apologizing to him. I think, but we were all impatient, right?
Hey, we're supposed to be impatient. If you care, you get impatient.
Exactly.
And the Glazers have been impatient, right? We're taking our cues from ownership. This year, they showed a little more patience. But in all seriousness, Light, he actually said, Ira, and I want your wisdom here.
Wisdom?
He actually said that he really deeply believes in that Super Bowl vibe of these players coming in from a Super Bowl program. Now, I think that's a kind of a pile of BS, Ira. Clinton McDonald, Robert Ayers, Evan Smith, all these guys had Super Bowl rings, Sweezy. So, I mean, do you buy it? Your sage wisdom, what do you think?
The number one thing is the guy's got to still be able to play, Justin. And I don't think in the grand scheme of things, looking back, that Clinton McDonald was a bad pickup for Jason Light. Doesn't go down as a negative on Jason
I thought he was different. I think my argument this year, heading into free agency, and I think you agree with this, Ira, is pay for what you're going to get, not for what a guy has already done. And I think that Jason Light has gone gangbusters in free agency the last couple of years. Deshaun Jackson, Robert Ayers, Brent Grimes. And Grimes has been good. But I think it's like what a guy has done in his 20s rather than what he's going to do over the next 3 to 4 years.
Maybe Sweezy.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think when you look at this offseason, it's like Jensen. Okay, well, Jensen just had a big year this past year. He's continuing
he's
to
rising.
Grow. We're paying for what he's going to do for the next 5 years. Jason Pierre-Paul, Vinny Curry, guys are still 29, but they can still produce. They've shown they can still produce at a very high level. We're paying what they can do over the next 2 to 3 years. So I like that approach to this offseason as opposed to other offseasons.
Steve, I want to talk about one quick topic. That we're very draft-centric tonight, like we should be. I wrote a column that is yearning to be posted.
I can't wait for this.
No. Anyway,
I mean, I've been waiting
points,
a while.
Justin, one of my points is the Bucs have been linked to Minkah Fitzpatrick and Derwin James. Now, look, first thing I'm going to say off the top, I think they're both going to be good NFL players. Second thing I'm going to say, I don't want them at number 7 for the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Which one scares you more? I think Minkah scares you.
Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Because when you say a guy's a jack of all trades, I'm not sure he does anything particularly outstanding.
Derwin James seems to fit the mentality that Jason Light has shown this offseason, right? Physical, in your face.
But you just got finished saying, and rightfully so, they have a tremendous need at corner. It's just a tremendous
need.
Grimes is there. Thank God they got him back. But how long are you going to have Brent Grimes anyway? And with Brent Grimes, you got to have another guy and maybe another guy in the NFC South. Look at the division you're in.
Yep.
The last time I saw Ryan Smith, he was still looking for Julio Jones, Justin. He's still looking for him.
Well,
and I don't mean that to pick on Ryan
Smith.
Well,
and let me defend Ryan Smith. And I know Lee. This guy was drafted in the third round. Probably shouldn't have been that high of a draft pick.
Fourth.
I thought he was. Are you sure?
Don't argue with Isbits.
Small school. Not properly developed.
Moved to safety.
Then moved back to corner. This guy needs to. He should be the fourth corner on your team, slowly being developed, because the natural skill is there. I mean, the natural talent, height, long arms, speed. Now you got to slowly develop him. I mean, he's not coming from a top program. He's coming from a small school. You're just throwing him out there.
Build his confidence.
And not only did they throw him out there, they started him at safety. So he's trying to learn safety. He's probably, everything's going a million miles an hour. Then it's like, well, you know what? Safety didn't work. We're going to put you back in corner. Now it's like, it's still going. This isn't Bucks Uncensored, so I'm trying to censor myself. But it's like, now all of a sudden I still have hope for Ryan.
He made some plays last year, Steve. He made some plays.
Can I throw into the fact that they've effed with his head is kind of what Justin's been saying? Let's not forget, oh gosh, he's a kick returner too. And he turned out to be the worst kick returner in the NFL in the year that they gave him the ball. So he had that on his mind as well. But I still don't think he's much of a talent.
But you agree, they have a yawning need at corner. It's big. It's a big, big need.
It's massive. But as you know, Lee's going to have a cow if they draft a cornerback. I'm hoping. We still have, Ira, 3 weeks till the draft. I'm really hoping, and maybe you got some insight, I'm really hoping that they do sign a veteran corner between now and then.
Here's what I'm going to do. If they draft a corner at 7, I'm going straight to St. Jude, the parish of the Diocese of St. Pete. I'm going to start lighting candles for his soul.
All right, well, here's the thing. Denzel Ward, so you're going to draft another corner that's under 6 foot in the top 10 of a draft?
Well, I got something on top of that with Denzel Ward. An NFL general manager told me this a few years ago. He said, who was the guy? I better be careful saying this because I don't want to get sued.
Charles Sims.
Who was the safety from Polk County the Bucks had? And he mysteriously just...
Oh, Ahmad Black.
Ahmad Black.
Okay. Well, an NFL general manager, I asked this NFL general manager one time, what happened to Ahmad Black? He went from starting to the Bucks to out of the NFL. Out. I mean, not even employed. Out.
Gone.
Not even on a practice
squad.
We've
seen that a few times around.
Gone.
Right.
And I asked.
There's been a lot of former Bucks players that just disappear because they're not good.
And this NFL. Collins is retired. He never got another job.
This NFL general manager told me a couple things about him, which I won't repeat. But one of the things he told me about him, and this is his words, not
mine.
I'm
waiting until he gets back to Denzel Ward over here. This is a hell of a story.
It's getting there. Hang on. It's getting to Denzel Ward. You know, I can finish the story and say, Denzel Ward. And then the subject will be over. You're like, what the hell are you talking about, D-Camper? So, this is a newspaper I where you got to be tight with 12 words in a paragraph. Okay?
Brevity, my friend.
So anyway, this guy told me, shook his head. Again, NFL general manager. He goes, typical Florida player, immature. Well, who was coaching Florida at the time? Urban Meyer. Look at the guys coming from Ohio, generally. Guys coming from Ohio State. Are they not immature? Ezekiel Elliott, Eli Apple. That's another thing to think of.
Well, I'll throw one more at you, Commission. You're not going to like
it. Joey Bosa, though.
Noah Spence.
Noah Spence.
Marshawn Lattimore. Stud.
Yeah.
Well, Denzel Ward did play for Greg Schiano. Yeah,
I don't have a problem with it. Now, look, Commission, I'm going to say this right now.
No, don't you dare.
I'm going to say it.
Don't say it.
If the big three are gone and they can't trade back, I would take Ward at 7. I would over James and Fitzpatrick.
I would take James. I would even consider Geis over Denzel Ward.
You got a problem with the name Denzel? What's going on with you?
God, I mean, we haven't even seen Denzel Washington for a number of years in a movie. I mean, come on.
Steve, can they take a safety after taking a safety in the second round last year? Can they take a safety at number 7?
I don't think it makes any sense. I wouldn't want two young safeties back there. Would you want that lead?
No. The Chris Conte – fan club will go bananas if he's still starting. I don't think Conte's that horrible.
Somebody,
I'm not saying he's
somebody's
got to
do a little homework at this table besides scarfing up fajitas. I've done a little research. Gentlemen, I'm going to throw this out at you. In the last five drafts, the first 10 picks of each draft, that's 50 picks. The last five drafts, how many safeties have been taken with a top 10 pick?
One.
The last five drafts?
The last five drafts.
Well, I'm thinking Eric Berry. That covers five.
That covers 50 picks.
I have no idea.
The answer is one. Well, the Jets took the guy last year at number two.
And you know what's funny? I don't know if you guys listen to this because typically I only listen to Bucks Uncensored and the Ira Kaufman podcast.
Thank you, sir.
But Daniel Jeremiah's podcast, not sure if you guys heard of it, on NFL Network.
Daniel.
They do these 360.
Sure.
They talked about Derwin James. His NFL comparison was Jamal Adams. They said he can have that kind of impact.
He went number two.
Good, great player, talent. Alpha, leader, tremendous background. They had his family on. They had his high school coach on. If there is a player that he compares to, it's Jamal Adams.
Okay.
So if he can have that type of impact, I'm okay with it. But
meanwhile, the Jets still sucked last year. I'm not blaming that on Jamal Adams.
They didn't have Jameis Winston, a quarterback. Right.
Well, let me throw this out there. If you believe that, and again, I'm the kind of guy, Justin, maybe you're not, but I'm the kind of guy who – I don't care about who's coaching the team or who the GM is. I want to win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for the best player, not the guy who's going to help save jobs. And if they really believe Davenport is that raw talent and that he's worthy, now they don't need to rush him into a spot. Do you take him and let Brenton Buckner do his thing and JPP and all the veterans there and say, hey, you know what? This is the smartest pick for the organization.
Doesn't have to step in and play right away.
Exactly.
You got JPP. You got Curry. Ira, I mean,
if
there was
proper value at seven.
It's not. And honestly, I think after those top three, there's a drop off.
Yeah.
And again, there's four quarterbacks and three players. So you'll have a quarterback there. To me, I'm desperately trying to trade down. And you're going to have some linebackers there, which teams like the Bears, maybe even the Dolphins, teams like that might want to try and trade up to get. So teams aren't going to just try and trade up for the quarterback. They might try and trade up for one of those linebackers.
Question.
Answer by Davenport, Ira.
But
you don't take him?
I can't.
I'm desperately trying to trade down. I would. You know what? I would rather take Vita Vea over Davenport at that point.
Would you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't
Gerald say. McCoy's, listen. What is he, 30 now?
Well, I'm not. I'm not wrong, Steve, saying that.
I'm just
thinking what Steve was saying. I'm kind of like Steve. And you sort of touched upon it. You draft Davenport, you don't need to force him to play. He can.
Vita Vea doesn't need to play either, and he's ultra talented as well.
True. However, I put more value on a defensive end, a pass rushing defensive end, than a tackle.
I can agree with that.
That's why I would take. I'm not anti V. In any way, shape, or form, I just put more value in a defensive, especially with this organization's problems.
I want value.
The past
I want to
12
take
years.
A guy where he should be taken, and Davenport doesn't deserve
is
to be
Davenport
taken.
Is Davenport one of the biggest debates in this draft? Because raw talent, he's kind of, you know what he reminds
overall,
me of? Like a Leonard Floyd from a couple years ago, where it's like nobody talked about Leonard Floyd, and then all of a sudden, boom, he was like up in the top 10, and it's like, who in the hell is this Leonard Floyd? Now it kind of seems like Davenport with the measurables and
he's not polished. He's not
polished. I know.
Are you talking about players?
If they drafted him, I get it. I understand it. But I don't. I wouldn't. Not at seven.
I think the odds of taking him at seven have diminished since they've overhauled the defensive line.
True.
Commish, isn't that true?
True. Yeah, I agree.
When you were saying one of the players that's most. I'm looking for the. I'm stretching for a word here. I'm struggling for a word here. The most. Debatable, for lack of are you talking overall or just position players the Bucks need? When you said Davenport is a debatable player.
Well, I think
overall, right?
Overall, I mean, said Josh Allen.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, yeah, I mean, Josh Allen's going to be a top 10 pick. Davenport could go in the top 10 or he could go in the second round.
Yeah, true.
Wouldn't surprise me if he fell to the late first, early second.
Steve, question for you. our host, our fine host?
The answer is Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac.
I'm drafting them.
Smooth, baby.
Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa.com, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.com. Start your shopping search there. Quality pre-owned. And, of course, as you know, Ira, Cadillac is much more affordable luxury than most people think. Go ahead, Ira.
Here we go. Steve, question. Bucks are on the clock at 7. Bills are pestering light. We want to move up to 7. What are you asking for from the Bills to go from 7 to 12?
I got to ask a question before he answers. Who's on the board? Three guys, the top three are gone.
Top three are gone.
Okay.
What are you asking for?
Well, it's not a question of what you're asking for. They're gonna say, look, we'll give you both first-round picks.
I'm taking that in 3 seconds.
And
are you kidding me?
And then Light's going to come back and say, I need something else, and they'll sweeten it up with a third, hopefully, or a fourth, and that's
it. You're getting two number one picks to move back 5 spots? I'm taking that.
I want 2 ones in their second next year. Do it.
You're an animal.
And I want, if the Cardinals want in, I want the Cardinals first and third this year, and I want their first
what
next year.
What about thieving a corner from
now,
one of these
now
teams?
Now, wait a minute. If you drive too hard a bargain, the Bills will say, we'll deal with the Colts at 6 and screw you.
Yeah, now you got 10 minutes.
Colts have already made their pick.
You got 10 minutes to make the deal. Hopefully Light knows what they're going to want. And usually these things should be baked in advance, but you know.
You want two number ones and an additional pick. That's heavy.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take, right? Yeah, I think it would 2 ones and a three
the
or
Jets
four.
The Jets gave up 3 second-round picks to move up 3 slots. 3 second-round. That's 3 starters. I mean, to me, maybe I would even consider getting the Bills' 12th pick, their 2 second-round picks, and a second next year. Get 3 second-round picks.
I'm glad I'm not negotiating with you, Pulaski. You're a tough dude.
All right, question for you.
Right? I mean, give me 3 seconds just like the Jets gave up 3 seconds.
Question for you, because this is fresh news of the day. Curious to see what we all think. I threw it out on Twitter earlier today. But you know what? The whole Brandon Cooks trade, the whole deal to L.A., which now has the most incredible stocked roster we've seen in a while.
You know what? I'm over the Rams. I'm over it. I hope they go 4-12.
Oh.
I'm tired of what they're doing in the offseason.
Did McVay's girlfriend blow you off or something last week?
Never mind that. Oh,
hey. I'm glad you said
that. Commission, am I wrong? But the Rams weren't far away. They didn't have to totally overhaul the franchise.
Yeah,
What's going on over there?
I think it's the L.A. thing. I think it's a new stadium thing. We got to sell some.
They're all the wrong reasons.
I know. Listen, I get it. I completely understand. You're bringing in Aqib Talib. You're bringing in incontinent Ndamukong Suh. You're bringing in Marcus Peters. You're bringing in some bad character guys on a team that was a young building team.
If the Rams were the Bucs, we'd all be high-fiving.
Oh, absolutely. The Bucs are going to the Super Bowl. Let's go, baby.
Exactly, yes. And that's what it's supposed to be about.
Wait a minute. The Bucs are coming off 5-11. Here's
my question.
All these guys you're saying are bad characters have been in the playoffs.
Yeah,
all
right, what's your question?
Talib's ruined the Patriots. He ruined the Broncos.
What's your question about the Pats?
The question is, with what happened with the Brandon Cooks deal, and knowing the kind of player Brandon Cooks is, isn't DeSean Jackson just the perfect fit for Bill Belichick, who once signed Joey Galloway? And don't you think there's a trade there? Because I'm sorry, I love the Bucs, but they're not winning a Super Bowl this year. And you, Ira, said DeSean Jackson's not on this roster next year.
DeSean Jackson will help the Bucs win football games in 2018 if Jameis Winston can get his arm out of his ass and hit him a couple of times. Well, DeSean Jackson has value for this football team.
Who do you want more?
I don't dump him. Chris Godwin caught a few passes.
Who do you want on the field more? You want Godwin or you want DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson brings a certain element.
You want Godwin. Like, what would you get, though, for DeSean Jackson?
Third I don't round know. Pick, I'm asking
Max?
You guys.
Third round pick, Max?
No, I think.
You're not going to get a second.
You don't think? No. Well, it's a late second.
Well,
it's a
wait
late
a minute.
Second.
When the Pats traded for Brandon Cooks, didn't they give up a one? A late one? Now Cooks is a lot younger than
he's
DeSean 20, Jackson.
He was 24, 25
but,
at the time.
Hey, according to Dirk Cutter, DeSean Jackson hasn't lost a step, Commish.
So he's like he's 24. So we the Bucks should get a first-round pick.
I'm not in a hurry to get rid of DeSean Jackson this year. I think he's an element that they don't have. A burner. They don't have that.
I think the Bucs have to look at this realistically. Are they winning the Super Bowl next year, or are they looking at the next 2 to 3 years?
Wait a minute. You represent Stick Carrier Nation. They think they're going to the Super Bowl, baby.
Well, not only do they think they're going to the Super Bowl this year, but I think they're also realistic to where, hey, if they go 9-7, we're going to throw a parade for them because we did.
That's right.
Shame on us.
Lee, your take on...
I've never seen a man in such a hurry to dump Deshaun Jackson.
I'm not in a hurry. I'm asking the question.
You ask me every week on podcast.
I think it's a good question.
It's a podcast.
Yeah, if you don't think you're going to make the Super Bowl, you're going to make it. If you don't think you're going to make the playoffs, why not? Like I said, Ira, I vividly remember Ira saying when the Bucs signed Deshaun Jackson, he would not finish out his contract in Tampa Bay.
I did.
Which means this is his last year.
Commission.
Agreed.
Wouldn't that be
I think it is this last
commission,
year.
Wouldn't that be an admission that Jameis Winston can't get him the football?
No, because he got Chris Godwin the football in the last game of the year for a touchdown to win the game so that the Bucs had the 7th pick in the draft instead of what, the 5th or 4th?
He gets the ball to O.J. Howard. He gets the ball to Mike Evans. He gets the ball
to
Godwin. He gets
open.
The ball to Adam Humphries. The only guy he can't get the ball to is Deshaun Jackson.
Did you hear that? That's a Buck on sense.
I didn't hear
it. Right?
I didn't hear
He's too fast.
He's too fast.
That could be. But, I'm with Justin. Jameis has no problem with any other receiver but Deshaun Jackson. Let's not put all this in Jameis'
lap. Can't anybody agree with me on my own podcast over here?
No. No.
You know, I would love to see Deshaun Jackson fight for a ball half as much as Godwin.
I would love to see Godwin on the field more next year. I think Godwin, in the second half of this past year, earned the playing time. He's not a slot receiver, so he's got to play on the outside.
If you're
Dirk Cutter, you're going to play Godwin over Deshaun Jackson? Who's going to play the slot? You just signed Adam Humphries to a new deal, so he's got to be out there.
Godwin's a big plus on Jason Light's resume. There's no question about it.
Well, let me throw this out there because, Ira, you know I listen to everything because I don't watch these movies that you tell me I don't watch and all this stuff.
You don't listen to Bette Midler?
Don't listen to Bette Midler.
Hold on. I'm stopping you right now. Commish.
You are not the wind beneath my wings.
Commish, he's making fun of me about Bette Midler and Streisand and all these people. When last week on the podcast, somebody mentioned the year 1968, and I rattled off 6 fantastic music artists, classic
Bravo.
Rock, Beatles, Stones, Bravo. Hendrix,
second
Cream.
Second best year in music history. You
I
know
rattled
that.
Those off. That's me.
94 was the best. Hootie and the Blowfish, Gin Blossoms, Alanis Morissette.
It's worse than me.
Ira graduated college in 68. Go ahead.
That's
God.
True, yeah.
1994, are you kidding me? Who won the Grammys that year?
I don't know. I was
flowers?
In middle school
Come
at the
on,
time.
Now. Anyway, I don't want to be associated with Bette Midler. I want to be associated with Cream. How do you like that?
I got you.
You and Eddie Van Halen.
I don't even remember.
I don't
what
know
we're
who wants
about
to
now.
Be associated with Cream. Though.
Sure Come on, supposed-
I know I don't. But then again, I host an uncensored
depends
podcast.
Whose cream it is, I suppose.
Oh, right. See, now you're making an Ira Kaufman.
This must be a clean podcast.
It is a clean podcast.
Ispitt's biggest sin is he hasn't seen The Godfather or Hoosiers. And for a hoopshead like him not to
he
see Hoosiers.
He hasn't seen The Godfather
Come on.
Yet.
I've never seen
you
The
never
Godfather.
Saw Rudy,
right?
Have you?
I don't even know what that's
Steve.
About.
You never saw Rudy.
Rudy,
either.
No, I never saw Rudy.
He right, never
what,
saw
what
Rudy.
What else we got, Steve?
I saw. I think the last movie I saw was Monsters, Inc. I think that's been a while.
What do
all
we right. got, Steve? What do we got?
Ira, no, in all seriousness, I listened to a podcast. I think it was Adam Schefter. I think it's a long time ago or when Deshaun Jackson signed. They were asking him about the future of his career. And he talked about how he sees himself moving to the slot and how he – I forget which names he mentioned, but he sees his game as moving toward the slot if he ever loses a step. But he'd still like to do it. He feels he can do it. He likes it.
I'm not sure he's physical enough for the slot, Justin. I'm not
sure
about
he's
that.
He's not, but he's quick enough.
He's quick enough.
He's certainly quick enough.
Yeah, he's quick enough.
So I don't know. I think this is the Dirk Cutter's greatest challenge this year with this offense because can we all agree there are no excuses for Dirk Cutter because I'm of the belief, I know, Justin, you've got some different beliefs, but this team is so much better just without Doug Martin in there that they're better at the running game and they're going to get a back who can work. But even so, the guys they have are so much better than Martin.
And I will say this. They're better at running back without – it's addition by subtraction, but they still have to get a running back. They have to get a
I
running back.
I think Steve agrees with that. I do think Steve agrees
Well, of
with
course.
That.
They got to – I mean, you can't have the worst running back core in the division, which is what they're looking at right now, and that's not okay. So, Ira, as we wind down here, and I know there's a couple other things you want to talk about. Anything first that you want to talk about? Otherwise, I'll remind
well,
you.
Well, one thing, you know – Kamish was talking about on his own podcast about they got to go out and get a running back second round. They don't have a third round pick right now. Kamish, do you think the success, kind of the startling success of Kamara and Hunt with the Chiefs last year, these were not first round picks. So does that lend more credence that, A, I can get a back and he can make an immediate impact. And it doesn't have to be a first-round
pick. Oh, absolutely. But see, here's the thing. The Bucs don't have a third-round pick. And I'm not waiting until the fourth round because we saw how that played out last year when they bypassed
now,
Marlon Mack.
Now, they might
Mack.
Be able to recoup that third-round pick depending on what
they
happens.
They might. But to me, I think if Barkley's there in the first, he's the guy. If he's not, if they trade back, Geis could be the guy. And I think in the second round, you're looking at a number of guys, whether it's Jones from USC, Michelle from Georgia, Chubb from Georgia, number of Penny from San Diego State. There's a number of guys, but they cannot wait. In my opinion, they can't wait past that second round because now you're getting into desperate territory and teams know you're going to be desperate for that position.
All right, Ira, two more things. One is a story that Lee wrote. We'll want to talk about, run it by the commish. The other one is you gave over-under six shots for what you're going to be doing at the draft party. Now, what's the over-under for visitors, listeners of your podcast, who are going to bring you a bottle of Riesling and present it to you? Because you know that's going to happen. So how many bottles of Riesling do you think you get?
What's the Riesling of choice, by the way?
Chateau Saint-Michel.
Oh.
Yeah, nice.
Nice. I actually got a nice Chateau Saint-Michel cab over the weekend.
I'll take that, too. That's a great brand. That's an outstanding brand.
It is very good.
Even their Merlot's good. Steve, the over-under on the bottles is four. Four bottles.
That's not good.
Four bottles.
All right. Four
I might polish those off that night.
I have to say, nobody could see your face, Ira, but you were so serious when you said Chateau Saint-Michel. It was intense, man.
It was intense. It was like I was questioning light at the
And my face lit up. I was like, I know that one.
I know that brand. Absolutely. You thought I was going to say Barefoot or something. Hey, you know.
Barefoot.
All right, what's this, like what's this the Kemper story?
Isn't that like $4.99 at Walmart?
It is
Barefoot?
$4.99.
All right, here's the thing, right? So Lee was listening to Ryan Jensen on SiriusXM NFL Radio, of course. Nothing gets past the tag team here at JoeBucksFan.com. And Jensen noted two things. One, when he came in for his visit, when they went out and schmoozed him, one of the Glazers was there, schmoozing a free agent, which I want your take.
Which
knowing
Glazer?
That, he didn't say.
Just, he said, quote, unquote, a partial owner. Well, we know there's no partial owners.
Well, wait a minute. If it was Ed, maybe he's pushing him to vote Trump in the next election or something. We don't know.
That could be. But I want your take on one, having a Glazer there, which as part of the schmooze, which is very interesting. And two, he said, Justin, this will interest you even more. He said that the Bucs are going to be moving. One of the things that sparked him was the Bucs are going to be moving more toward a power running game.
Yes.
And that's very interesting to note as well, which could tip off the draft.
Power blocking, actually. Power blocking.
Power blocking.
Physicality is the name of the game, Justin. They didn't have it for the last 2 years on either side of the trench. You made a great point about that. It showed up defensively in Arizona, Minnesota, New Orleans.
Early on.
But on the
other side
of the coin, Justin, they had no physicality on the offensive side either. Nope. Here comes Jensen, and perhaps here comes Nelson.
Oh, boy. And I'll tell you what, if they are looking at a power run game, now power blocking, you might want to have a power running back.
Yeah, Geis.
Geis is the guy. I mean, Geis, to me, is probably the meanest.
I haven't seen that much about Geis. Tell me about Geis.
He's the meanest, nastiest, probably most physical running back between the tackles in this draft. Another guy like that is Penny out in San Diego State, who's, I think, a lot of people thought third round early. I think he's going to be a second round pick.
What do these guys weigh, Commissioner?
You're talking 220. And you're talking ripped, too. I mean, you're talking mean guys that if you saw them in the alley, you'd be like, wow, that guy is looking good.
Might be a guy that can come to next year's draft party.
Maybe. Who
you
knows?
Never know. So you like that combination of Nelson and Geis. Boy, would you love that.
Listen, if they got Nelson and Geis and nobody else in this draft, I think that would end up being one of the great drafts they've had in a long time.
And
I think
it
completes the offense. Well, I was just
corner.
Looking at some of the veteran corners that are available. I've been trying to find this for a while. But you're looking at like a bro who was with the Saints. You're looking at Dominic Rogers-Cromartie.
Pac-Man Jones.
Listen, there's also Leonard Johnson who's available. Alteron Verner who's out there. So Sterling Moore. So a lot of some former Bucks you can bring back.
Well, what about
sarcasm alert.
What about the guy that had three picks for the Bucks last year?
Robert McClain. I don't understand why he's not on the team.
He's still out there.
Rashad Breeland, you know, he failed the physical, but At what point, I mean, he was signed quickly, failed the physical. What did he fail the physical for? I mean, eventually he's going to get healthy, right?
Yeah.
All right, the Glazer. The Glazer. What do you make of that? Come on, you're the Glazer conduit.
Let's not go crazy. Commission might be Brian Glazer, who works at a one-buck place.
Sure.
Normally. The guy might have come in during the day, and then Brian Glazer's there at his desk. No big deal there.
Don't think Darcy?
No, I'm thinking not Darcy. No Darcy. But you know what? Just the fact that Brian Glazer or Joel wanted to sit in on that Jensen interview,
yeah.
I think that's significant. You know what? I'm going to take it one step further. At that point, the Bucks had a very quiet week in free agency. Everybody was getting on their ass, including us.
And you know as well as anyone, right? You have a very good connection with the Glazers. They're very connected. Well, you did. And then they were like,
Yeah. Who's this guy?
They're very in tune with the fans. And in turn, I mean, yes, with the media, but I think they used the media to get really a gauge of the fans. And the fans were pissed.
Yes.
Because when your team goes 5-11 and you had all that enthusiasm going into the season, and then they do nothing, you're like, what the hell?
Steve, my point is, and I think Commission will back me up, at that point, with the fan revolt starting in its early stages, they had to go out and goddamn get Jensen.
Oh.
They had to get Jensen. If the Colts get him and the Bucks don't, oh, man. Even with the Pierre Paul thing, it would have took a lot away from the good feeling that's going on right now. They had to get Jensen.
Steve, and Irish.
Well, you'd look at Evan Smith starting at left guard,
ooh.
Right?
And Marpet's still at center. You got to go get Jensen, and they got him.
Should I reveal one of the questions I asked Joel Glazer?
I don't know about that, DeKemper.
Well, you know, anyway, just to shed light on that room, and only I would do this. You know where I'm going now, don't you?
Continue.
Only I would do this. Justin, this is no joke. We have audio of it. I don't know if we're ever going to use the audio.
Yeah, when are we going to use the audio of Joel Glazer?
Calm down, Sage.
Calm down, Sage.
So at any rate.
This is what I got
to
deal with.
Prior to them, I don't know prior how you to deal with them. Trading for JPP, maybe a week before that trade happened, I had made up my mind, okay, I have a journalism degree. You're supposed to right a wrong if you're a journalist. I had become absolutely fed up with no defensive end, and I was on a crusade almost every day. I know I was hacking light off. I didn't care. 12 years was enough. Enough is enough. So I was going to just pepper Joel Glazer about defensive ends. Why did you get rid of Michael Bennett? I don't care if they're going to throw me out of the room. I was determined. Well, they got JPP, issue resolved. However, it was still in my mind, defensive end. So I go into the Joel Glazer introduced, we had an audience. I used that word, Steve. He took it out of my story. We had an audience with Joel Glazer, like you'd have an audience with the Pope. We had an audience with Glazer, Ira, Steve, and myself at the same time. And so I asked Joel Glazer, said, Mr. Glazer, for 12 years, this team didn't have a defensive end. At one point, did you become like the monster in Young Frankenstein in the blind monk scene when they smashed the wine cups together and he looked skyward like, what the hell are we doing? And he answered that. He answered that.
And Isbitz turned to Joel and said, I've never seen Young Frank. I don't know what he's talking about.
I didn't blink, but I had no idea what he was talking about. But Glazer seemed to know.
It's a famous scene. You remember that? The blind monk episode?
Yeah, I never saw it either.
You never saw it? Young Frank? Ira knows what I'm talking about.
I haven't seen The Godfather or Young Frankenstein. Steve and I have a lot in common.
One day we're going to get the commission together with a Glazer.
Ooh.
And that is going to be one hell of a tete-a-tete.
I thought you were going to say we were going to get together for a slumber party and watch a bunch of movies. I'm really pumped about that. I don't care about seeing the Glazers. No offense.
When you get home tonight, when your family is sleeping, you're still up, go to YouTube, Blind Monk. Gene Hackman was a blind monk.
I usually look up other stuff on YouTube.
It's hysterical.
Hey, Steve, I got
it's
a quick
hysterical.
Question. I got a quick question for Justin.
Well, why are you looking at me then? What are you looking at me for?
Justin.
He directs all my questions to you.
Justin,
he's
nobody,
like, in my face, I got a quick question.
Nobody's got their finger on the pulse of the stick carriers like you because you basically created the movement, and I give you a lot of credit, and it was a lot of fun watching it last year.
Literally, it was complete luck. I was just like, oh, he wants a big mother, stick?
No,
I was like, well.
No luck.
Well, I was just like, oh, anyone that listens to this podcast is a stick carrier.
So,
and then it, like, blew up. I was
it
like,
did.
Oh.
It blew up. And so, Commish, I'm going to ask you, what is the state right now of the passion of the stick carriers? Are they dormant? Are they waiting for
dormant?
waiting for a reason to get excited? Is it going to be as exciting in training camp as
it's like
as
a virus that's dormant?
You know what? I'm really glad you asked that, because I think just like most of us, we needed 2 months to kind of decompress. We were kicked in the balls for three straight months of just being kicked in the balls, and it's like, it takes some time to, you know, catch your breath, move them back down from your stomach to where they're supposed to be, stand up, and by March, we were ready to go. And I will say this, I think the momentum and enthusiasm since the Jensen and Curry signings and the JPP trade, you could argue that the enthusiasm is as strong or possibly stronger right now than it was a year ago. These fans are smart. They understand what Jason Light's plan has been. They got all their weapons, right, the last couple of years. Now they've finally addressed the real need on this team.
But they're coming off 5-11.
Line of scrimmage can change everything, especially if you got a quarterback. They're not dumb, though. They realize needs for running back, needs for corner, safety, maybe even get Nelson. These stick carriers like the physical nature of the line of scrimmage. You win the line of scrimmage. You win that physical game.
This is a blue-collar town, baby.
It really – you know what? It really is, because so many people talk about this being a transplant town, right? So many Northerners come down here. Well, where are Northerners coming from? Blue-collar towns. Yes. I think this is a blue-collar town. They appreciate hard work, and I think that's why Mike Allstott was so loved in this town.
Popular.
Because they love that blue-collar worker in this
town. And the defense. They embrace the defense.
They love a hardcore offensive line. They love a run game. And I think Jason Light is giving them that this year. And Jason Light, if you're listening, keep doing what you're doing. Keep that plan. Keep being physical, and I think you're going to have the fans.
That's why
right
Quan is so
you.
Popular, because Quan's a lunch pail kind of guy. People love Quan.
He's got to be more consistent.
Yeah, but I mean, they like his attitude, his work ethic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. But people that think he's going to get $10 million at his contract, that's ridiculous.
But I was just saying, he embraces what you're talking about,
absolutely.
The fan's desire.
Yes, and that's why he's loved so much. I'd just like him to be a little more consistent.
Bucks Uncensored, Monday and Wednesday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. But, of course, then it appears magically in the middle of the day on the podcast platforms, iTunes, your Commish is now on Google Play, Podbean, where he's got...
I'm not as highly
loved
on Google Play as Ira,
Say that again, Jason. Jason, say that again. It was a very good line.
I'm not as loved as the fine man
and
sitting
next
to me.
You don't have these two beautiful guests either.
Are you talking about these guys?
No, I'm talking about that waitress over there.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. I'll say this, Ira, because I know you're not big on the technology world. Podcast platforms, it's just different. They're all different, right? So, Commish, he's got you beat by like quadruple on Podbean in subscribers, where they show subscribers. So, it's free flowing, but it doesn't matter. You can listen.
Suck it.
I want to get bumped up on Podbean, baby.
You're on Podbean.
But I'm trailing.
You're trailing. That's just the way it goes.
All right.
But I just wanted to make sure everybody's listening to the Commish.
Maybe I'll sprinkle in a couple of four-letter words, Commish. Maybe that's the way to do it.
Who knows? That'll get your Podbean numbers up.
Damn, Isbits, what else you got?
If you fell away from Bucks Uncensored, maybe you got offended once, and you go back, better than ever. And I'm looking right here, the iTunes episode rankings. There's the Commish, number one episode, Lights Purge Starters since 2016. But you are episode 2 and 3. You're right there.
Yes.
It's a battle. It's a battle royale.
It's not a battle.
It's all about Joe Bucks, man.
Ira's competitive with everything. You got to understand. He can't help himself.
There you go.
All right, Ira.
Anyway, it's been a lot of fun tonight. And, Jason, I'll see you again on draft night. I'm
just
got to
get that chant going again.
I'll get that chant
really
going.
Looking forward to it.
Draft party, all the details.
You don't know what you're going to be missing, Lee. You got no idea.
Yeah, like I said, someone's got to sit and do the articles, but I understand. I volunteer.
I'll be working
at
the bar.
They have Wi-Fi.
I know, but here's the thing. The Bucks aren't going to pipe in through a teleconference the player at Buffalo Wild.
You want to hear what Dirk Cutter has to say about the number 7 pick? Or you want to hear what Javier has to say?
He loves what he – listen, Dirk Cutter loves the 7th pick. But you know what? Javier, he might love it or he might hate
Javier.
It.
And Port Richie Lou wants a way in, too.
You don't want him.
Is Will from the Midwest going to make it in?
Steve.
Will is not. He just had a kid, actually.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, okay. So he's not going to make it.
If you enjoy Bucks Uncensored or the Ira Kaufman podcast, leave a review, positive, negative, or otherwise. Leave a review. We love to read them. Ira loves to read them. And Ira, I'm going to close with this because it was too funny. And I just, I can't not read it. So this is an iTunes review, Ira.
Oh God, these are the best.
A recent iTunes review. Okay.
What is he rated? 5 stars. I'm at 4 stars because people hate me.
There you go.
All right, here you go. Are you ready for this,
people
Ira?
People hate me. Some people do.
I'm going to
I bet I know who did that, but I won't say.
We're going to go out on this, Ira. I'm going to do a dramatic reading. Here we go. Oh. The person is named, he calls himself Almost Met Ira.
Almost Met Ira.
Almost Met Ira. Almost That's met the title Ira. Of his review.
All right.
Here we go. A number of years ago, I was at the Valspar Championship, and I was getting ready to walk into the Hooters tent. I looked up, and around the corner comes Ira Kaufman. I recognized him right away. Short guy with gray hair. I was going to reach out to shake his hand, but I didn't. Knowing what I know now, I'm glad I didn't shake his hand.
Oh.
Yes, I'm so pumped.
The man
right now
eats $16 beet salads and drinks St. Michelle Riesling at the Green Iguana. He would have spit on my hand. Spit
wow,
on my hand. So that's how it ended. Wow. He gave you 5 stars, though, anyway.
Oh, that's good.
I cannot believe Cutter wrote that.
And people think I'm pompous, okay? I mean, I'm sitting next to Mr. Pompous over here.